following message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
Good morning, everybody. We are so glad you came today. We just want to say we thank you for taking the time, because your time is valuable. Your time is precious. And we know what it means to you, and we are honored to have a moment of your time to talk about God's kingdom, God's love, God's ways. And our prayer today is that you leave here empowered and encouraged. And if you leave here empowered and encouraged from being around the family of believers or the Word of God, the presence of God, we are so honored. So we want to talk about time today, because your time is so valuable, and there's certain things in life that I think God is trying to tell us now is the time. There's certain things in our life that I sense God is shaking us. No matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, now is the time. There are some things right in this season for all of us, I believe, to recognize and to step into. The thing about time, when we think of this town, this city we live in, it's the second biggest city in America, and this town is a fast town. We don't have a lot of time. In fact, everyone's rushing all the time. When you're on the freeway, people are cutting lanes, trying to get anywhere. You're always trying to find a faster way to get to work. Can I get an amen on that? Faster way. If Google Maps doesn't work, you pull up Waze, because they'll take you down some alleys or whatever, maybe through somebody's yard. Have you ever gotten some like crazy, like, you know, I don't even think this is legal, but you know, you're looking for faster ways. Why? Because we don't have time. We're rushing all the time. We got to get a Starbucks on the way to work, but we got to find one with a drive-through, because we got to save time. Time is the only thing that we don't seem to have enough of, and it seems like we're rushing all the time. In fact, did you know that only in America would we name a national monument Mount Rushmore? I mean, seriously. I mean, what do the tourists think of us? Rushmore? Really? Like, we drink our latte and we hurry up on vacation to see Mount Rushmore and go home. I don't know what they're thinking about us, but we're rushing all the time. And time is so important. It is so valuable. But in reality, we can't really save time. You really can't take your time and put it away and take it out later. You can't save it. You can only spend it. And it matters so much what we do with our time. The question is, really, since you can't save your time, you can only spend it, the question is, where do you spend it? What do you spend it on? And are you directing your time the right ways? Because for me, this really kind of rocked my world when I started thinking about time. When I started thinking about time on a whole nother level, it really rocked my world. I got five beautiful children. When you see them come into this world, you look at these little babies and you're like, wow. And it's hard to imagine, but before you know it, they're off and they're in high school or they're playing football. And before you know it, they're taking wings and taking flight in life. And, you know, as a pastor, I've done many baby dedications and then weddings and funerals as well. And when you look at the scope of life and you're like, wow, time is amazing, but what we do with it matters so, so much. So for me, in my life, I kind of came to this revelation that our time is kind of short. Our time is kind of short. I was with my kids. We were at a funeral recently, and as we were walking through, they were looking at all the names and the dates, and they were kind of mesmerized by the dates. And the fact of the matter, I was just telling them, I'm like, well, we all have a starting date, and we didn't get to pick our start date. Our birthday, we didn't pick it. God gave us that. And we all have this expiration date. We don't know what it is, but there is one, and we don't know. And all you and I have, the only thing we have, is the dash in between. You and I are living in the dash. That's all we have is the dash. And so time and what we do with that dash matters so much. I started thinking about that in my own life. I'm like, man, this is such a big thing about time. What we do with it, where we place it, where we invest ourselves, our futures, it matters so much. I started really thinking about this question, which really started to shape my life. Maybe it will shape yours. And that question is, what's going to matter in 100 years? What's going to matter in 100 years? Now, you think about that for a minute, and there's some things we do in life that will matter nothing in 100 years. Other things will. Some things won't. In fact, for some of us, we might say, well, forget about 100 years. What's going to matter in 50 years? What's going to matter in 50 years? Or you might be saying, what's going to matter in 20 years? What's going to outlive you that you do? What's going to outlive you that you are part of? Is anything going to outlive you? And I say that sincerely, but I encourage you with this challenge. What's going to matter in 100 years? In fact, it's a great question. Ask somebody next to you, would you? Take a second. Ask them, what's going to matter in 100 years? Think about it. What's going to matter in 100 years? Hopefully, guys, hopefully with a question like that, it challenges a little bit. Now, let me ask you a question. Do we got any sports fans in the house? Sports fans of the house? Oh, yeah, come on. Okay, the thing about sports, here's an interesting thing about sports. Some sports are tied to time. They're tied to time. They're tied to a clock. Some sports are not. The best sports are tied to a clock, by the way. Okay, baseball, okay? No clock. In fact, they had a game back in the 80s that went over 8 hours. Over an 8 hour game, Chicago White Sox won it. After 8 hours. At that point, you went through every pitcher. You're bringing out the bat boy to pitch. The manager's coming. The parents are coming down to pitch. I mean, you're out of pitchers. 8 hours. But, you know, the thing about baseball, there's no clock. There's no clock involved. They're not starting the time. There's no ending time. There's no... So, you know, you can have a pitcher up there, you know, and he's ready to, you know, before he winds up, he decides to step off the mound a little bit, look at his glove, rub his hair, fix his hat, you know, do what he does, get back on the mound. No, I think I'm going to step off. He can do it all day long. He can do this. It's fully legal. Manager can come out. Hey, Billy, how you doing? Pretty good, coach. How's the family? Oh, they're doing great. Having a little conversation out there. Having a barbecue next week. You want to come? Yeah, come on. It's going to be great stuff. Okay, you ready to pitch? Yeah, I'm feeling like it. Okay, get back up in there. You know, I mean, he can step on, step off. There's no penalty for that. This is just the way it goes. Golf is another one. You can be out there golfing, you know, on the fairway, you know. I'll line this up again. Oh, maybe I'll get a different club. You know, no problem at all. There's nobody clocking you. Can you imagine a referee coming up, blowing a whistle, 15-yard penalty, throwing a flag, and moving you back 15 yards for your tee off? No, they should. But they don't. They don't. Because it's not time to a clock. Now, some really good sports. Basketball, tied to a clock. There's a clock. The clock is ticking. And you got to use the clock really well. It's called clock management. Good coaches know they're not just going to be looking at the playbook. They're also going to be looking at the clock. The playbook and the clock. Why? Because they both matter. You can't just be looking at the playbook. You got to look at the clock. You got to know where you're at in the game if you want to be a good coach or good team or win the game. Football, NFL, the greatest sport ever invented, I think. Now, that's one where you really need to know your clock management. It matters a lot because what you do with the clock or what you don't do can put you in a really bad position at the end of the game. But the clock matters so much. And in our lives, the clock matters so much. As I said earlier, we're living in this dash. We all have an expiration date. I don't know if you ever do this when you go to the store and you grab milk. Do you do like I do? Like you mess them all up and you go to the back and grab it. The guy hates that. You know, he just stacks them nice. You're like, sorry, dude. You know, you're trying to get one that's like 4 days newer, right? Because it'll last you like 4 days longer, what, right? Because it has an expiration date. And so the point is time matters in everything in life, but we kind of forget that. We just kind of roll through life and wherever we end up, I want to encourage you this morning, your time is incredibly valuable. God gave you so much of it. God knows our beginning date and our end date. We don't see the clock the way God sees the clock. We don't see the clock. Nobody sees their clock the way God sees your clock. I don't see my clock the way God does, and you don't see yours. And that's why this is really important, because we sometimes have no clue what our clock is. We have no clue what time it is sometimes, specifically in the area of our lives. If your life was a football game, you might think that you're in the first quarter, but you could be in the fourth quarter. You don't know. I don't know. We don't know. You could think it's halftime, but you could be at the two-minute warning. We don't know. God knows the clock. We don't. And that's why it's all the more important that we lock our lives with God, the lover of our soul, the creator, who the Bible says in Psalm 139 that he formed us in our mother's womb, that literally way back in the formative days before you ever took a breath, in the formative time of life, God was like, this is beautiful. And he's forming you in the mother's your mother's womb. And it says at that time that he ordained things for you to do. At a later time, when you finally come to life, he put some things in his design for you to discover and to walk out for way later on. I think that's an amazing thing about God and his design, that he sowed things into the DNA of your soul that you might discover what these things are and finally walk these things out. I think that is so cool. In our lives, we have to come to terms with some of these things. If you're a note taker this morning, I want to encourage you to take down a couple of points that you can maybe think about, pray about, consider, talk about. But I think these will help you in your clock management. It will help you in your management of life and the things that God is calling you to, the fuller display of everything God has for you. The first point is this: now is the time to make the best use of our time. Now is the time to make the best use. I don't know what you did before with your time or what you even thought of it, but I want to encourage you, you're living in this dash and that clock is ticking and we have no clue what quarter we're in. And God's got amazing things in store for his children. He says, I know the plans I have for you. They are not to harm you, God says. The plans I have for you are to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. Seek me with all your heart. You'll discover these things and you'll get to walk in them, God is saying. So the time matters. Otherwise, we're off doing our own thing and we totally lose track of time. Our passage today, we're going to be looking at Ephesians 5. If you have it on your device or a Bible in one of the seats or up here on the screen. But this is a great passage. This talks so much about God and time and where you and I fit into God's plan, his big matrix, and time and what we do with time, how we view time, and how we engage time or how we should engage time. And this is Ephesians 5, verse 15. Says this: be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I want to stop right there. It's talking about how we live, and it's talking about being careful how we live. A lot of people don't live carefully, they just kind of live. And the Bible's saying, well, hold, step back a little bit. There's something bigger going on you need to take note of. He's saying, be careful how you live. Be careful how you use your time. Be careful what you invest yourself in. You got to choose, because you have a choice from God's perspective, and he sees all. We're very limited in what we see. God sees all. He says some of your choices can either be wise or unwise, and a lot of it has to do with how we use our time. So again, to God, this is a big deal. To us, it should be a big deal. I think it's major. How we use our time is the difference between wise and unwise. And he's saying this, he says, because the days are evil. Now, I want to just think about that in our context in America. In America, there's some crazy statistics of crime and drug use and split families and fatherless kids, orphans, incarceration. I mean, I don't have a chart for you here, but I will read some things from the Washington Post published data. And it says, in the United States, we only have 5% of the world population, but we have 25% of the world's prisoners. Is that a little off to you? Can I get a witness? A little bit? Is that normal? No, that's not normal. Something's up with that one. 5% of the population, 25% of the prisoners. Our prison population is a staggering 2.4 million, and it's, listen to this, it's a 500% increase in the last 30 years. That doesn't mean like this. It means like this. That's a statistic. That's like a fact. There's so many others, too, with drug use and split families and crime, just so many things where there's a fragility. There's a cracking in the seam, suicide, the things like this, struggles that people are dealing with, deeper depressions. There's some stuff going on because the world doesn't have the answer to some of these things. We live in the most endowed planet in the universe, and we've got scientific breakthroughs, and we're just blessed in so many ways to live in a democracy when we could be in some third world country or communist country. You could have been born anywhere. God has you here for such a time as this. We are well endowed. But there is something with the culture, that there's a drift to the culture. The statistics say, as a fact, there's a drift to the culture. And sometimes we ignore it and just turn up the radio, turn up my songs, turn up Pandora. I don't care. But there's a drift. There's a drift to the culture. The Bible is saying, because we're living in times where days are evil, because there's a drift, it's even more important for you and I to recognize the times. It's more important now, more than ever, for you and I to come to terms with the culture, the drift, and what you and I are doing with our time. Because what typically happens, and it's pretty natural, when the culture's in a drift, it's easy for you and I to drift right along with it. I mean, come, we're all in this thing together, and before you know it, we're just kind of drifting together. That's very natural, that's very normal, but I think God is reminding us this morning to come to terms with the opportunity of time and to make the most of it. There's a story of this guy who lived in his house, you know, he enjoyed it, lived in his house, and they came and they knocked on his door one day. He's like, yes, can I help you? He's like, sir, if you don't mind, you're gonna have to step outside. We need to paint your room. He's like, what's wrong with my room? He's like, no, it's okay, sir, it's something we do. So step outside, they paint his room, and he comes back in, he's like, no different from before, I don't see what the point is. And next year, they came again, sir, it's us again, you mind stepping out? We need to paint your room again. Okay. He steps out and they paint his room, and they keep coming back every year. Sir, we need to paint your room. And he steps out and he keeps coming back, and year after year, he's like, why do they do this? There's really no different. And finally, one year, he came back and says, why do they keep doing this? I see no difference except for now my room is black and it used to be light. And over time, they just painted it one shade, just one little shade. And he didn't see any change, no change, no change, no change, because that's the way it works with a cultural drift. And what I'm suggesting to you is there are certain things in our culture that are in our drift that God is saying, listen, I made you for some amazing things. And I would suggest to you, God is not alarmed or surprised at all with our culture. God is so much bigger than the stuff going on. I believe that God is speaking to us in the way that he spoke to Esther, a queen, many, many years ago, that you and I were made for such a time as this. If you are here today by the sovereign design of the living God, he who gave you your birth date, who gave you your family, who gave you your gifts, who gave you your talents, who saw the experiences you went through, and by the way, he didn't author all of your experiences. A lot of evil in the world happens, and God's heart breaks when this stuff happens. The fact of the matter is we all go through things, and you are here even today for such a time as this. Why? Because God wants to do a greater work in your life. He gave you gifts, he gave you talents, he gave you resources. He put you in LA in such a time as this. God isn't worried so much about the culture. He's worried about people who wake up to his calling within the culture, because people like you and I begin to change the culture when we shine our light for the glory of God. When you let God turn you up a little, when you let God crank the thermostat, you gotta let him. You gotta let him. He won't do it. He won't take over. You let God turn up the heat in your life and you will shine and start giving life to other people. I believe that's one key thing that we're called to do in this passage because of this cultural drift. It says right here in this context, it says basically, make the most of every opportunity, even though the days are like this. God's fully aware. In fact, the Bible says the days are going to get a little darker in the context of morality. The Bible says that it will be a time where people call good evil and evil good. Now, for 1900 years of Western civilization, there's a lot of things that people called good and not good, and everybody kind of knew this was good and not good. Even if it was not good, they might turn away from it, but they knew it was not good. But nowadays, whatever you think is good, whatever you think is not good, it's all fine. We all pick our own good. We all pick our own not good. This is a new normal in culture. But from God's standpoint, he's saying, guess what? That's a mark. That's an indication that you were living in later days and more end times when people just whatever they feel like. The Bible tells us that, and it's telling us in this case to make the most of your opportunities. Now, here's the thing about the opportunities. You and I, we don't see them all, but God sees all of your opportunities. And that's why it's so important that you and I lock in with God Almighty, the living God, because he sees the opportunities and we don't. So it says, make the most of our opportunities. And it says in the same passage right here that we can either be foolish, it says, and not care what God's will is, or we could be wise and want to know what God's will is. And this is really, I think, the take home for today, because the will of God, whether we choose to understand it and step in it or go, no, thank you, is the deal maker or the deal breaker, whether you and I will get in on stuff that you were made for, what you were designed for, and the eternity that God has for us. It all comes to what is the will of God. First of all, is the will of God knowable? Can I even know it? That's a golden question. Does God have a will and can I know it? And the answer is yes and yes. I want to show you in a second, but the will of God is so important. If you and I are willing to discover and embrace it, poof, this is where life really begins. Second point this morning, again, if you're a note taker, is at least to consider this thought, this idea, because I believe it's laid out in Scripture here. Now is the time to discover and understand God's will, to discover and understand it. Maybe you thought of it before and you've been living your life. Maybe you've been in the faith a long time, and now it's time to get back to the heart of God and truly discover what his will for your life is. Not just live and go day to day or week to week or get by or get through. No, so much more than that. To really discover the heart of God and his will for your life, because the Bible is saying this is wise. This is wise. A wise way to live and a wise way to make the most of the opportunities. So real quick, what's God's will? I've got a scripture up here, and it's like a grand slam verse on the will of God. This verse is in John's Gospel, John 6:40. And I love this. It says this, for my Father's will, you want to know God's will? Here it is. My Father's will is that everyone looks to the Son and believes in him and then shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. There's a lot going on in this verse, but this is it's an amazing, like a bullseye. You want to know the heart of the Father. The heart of God is this. He loves the whole world that he sent his Son. See, ever since the beginning, people like me, personally, and I believe you would agree, that we make our own choices and we go our own ways. And when we do, we fall short of what God is saying is the bullseye. And the word in Scripture that they use for falling short, the Bible uses the word sin. And we don't like the word. No one likes the word sin. Don't tell me about my sin. I won't tell you about your sin. Let's not talk about sin. But sin is more common than the air we breathe. Everyone sins and everyone falls short. That's a fact of life. That's not a big revelation. The fact of the matter is, what do we do with our stuff? When we do sin, what do we do with it? So there's two kinds of people in the world. People who said, I don't need to do anything with my sin. I'm just going to hold on to it. Thank you. And others are like, yeah, I can't go through life with this. I need to get rid of it. What do I do with it? That's the wise choice. And Jesus is the one who says, hey, that's my job. I came to take that all away. That's what I came for, to take away all the sins of the world. So some people sit there with their stuff and go, no, I'm not giving it to anyone. I'm just going to keep it. And others go, yeah, if you'll take this, thank you, because I can't carry it. And there's beautiful liberation, life and a future in that choice. This passage is saying the Father's will is that everyone looks to the Son, takes away the sins of the world, and believes in him. And guess what? You get eternal life. And he will raise you up on the last day. So there's a present reality and a future reality to this. The time that doesn't end, this time in God's economy that is presently a blessing, but it goes on and on and on and on. So when we think of time in this world as we know it and time in the future, in eternity, this passage is saying, you want to know God's will? Look to the Son. Look to the Son. You look to the Son and you'll begin to discover the will of God. And personally, from my experience in life and from what I read in the Bible, I don't really see the will of God discoverable without looking to Jesus. There are some general things we can learn just from nature and things around us, some very basic things. But when you start looking to Jesus, it starts to unfold on a whole new level. The Father's will is found in Jesus. And it's our choice to accept or reject. Now, I will tell you this. I hesitated on this for quite a while. Going, I don't know, because if I accept, what's he going to do to me? That was my fear. Fear, F-E-A-R, stands for false evidence appearing real, false evidence appearing real. I was afraid that God would take my life and turn me into something I didn't want to be, and that's why I didn't accept him. I heard this stuff in San Diego, playing in bands, doing stuff, thank you, but no thank you. And finally, the call was getting stronger, and I felt God saying, like, I love you too much, and you can't run away from me. And I would try to kind of like change the topic, and I kind of kept God's loving pull, and finally you're like, God, why am I fighting you? Because really, that's what I was doing. And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've been fighting God a little bit. You're like, yeah, that's cool, but no, I'm not going to go there. And that's fighting God. And the greatest, most empowering and liberating day of my life is holding up the white flag, going, all right, I'm not fighting you anymore. The thing about the white flag, everything about the white flag, the surrender flag, in life sounds bad. Don't quit. Don't surrender. Fight till the end. Make it happen. Grab the wheel. Go for everything in life sounds like don't surrender. But let me just tell you, when it comes to the living God, who's the lover of your soul, who formed you in your mother's womb, who breathed life into your nostrils, who put a soul, who put DNA in you and things that he expects fruition out of, to whom much is given, much is expected, to whom much is given, much is required. He puts things in us and he expects them to come out. And when we're fighting off the our creator, the lover of our soul, it's the most liberating day when you go, you know what? I can't fight you anyway. And I'm not going to fight you anymore. This is where it all begins. That's what I did. And I began to discover God's will, God's peace, God's love, new beginnings, fresh revelation, things that could not exist had I not turned to Jesus to begin to know the will of God. And so third point this morning that I think is important to kind of camp out on a little bit is now is the time to look to Jesus and believe. Look to Jesus and believe, because that's where belief begins. The Father's will. You want to know God's will? Look to the Son. Everyone say, look to the Son. That's the Bible. You want to know God's will? Look to the Son. You want to know God's will? Look to the Son. That's where we find God's will when we look to the Son. And some of you might be in the faith for a long time and you're going, yeah, I'm already in the faith, but I would tell you, I have to stop all the time. Stop, slow down, and press in and just look to Jesus. And I have to get a fresh revelation again, because life has a way of wearing us down. Life has a way. You're in this big city and stuff is moving fast and furious and people are not always nice and there's a lot of disruption and there's pushing and pulling and life has got ups and downs and some crazy dynamics and we have to continue to stop and press in and look to him. And he makes this amazing promise that is such an important aspect to the traits of God, to the nature of God, to the heart of God. And he says this again and again in Scripture. Draw near to me and then I will draw near to you. It says this again and again, the nature of God revealed. You wanna find me? You seek me with all your heart and you will find me. Oh, you will find me. I will be found. The creator of the universe willing to encounter you and me personally, which blows me away. It's like, really, God, 6 billion people on the planet, you're willing to encounter me? Why would you do that? It's like, because I love you and because I want to, but here's what you have to do. You have to draw near to me. And that never changes. So whether you've come to look to Jesus for the first time or you've been in the faith for a while, you still have to come back to saying, God, I really need to draw near to you again because I need you to draw near to me. And it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just rub off. It's an intentional heart condition of drawing near to God. So now is the time to look to Jesus and believe. That's really, really important. And the last couple of scriptures I have here, and hopefully this is going to help us all understand our clock, understand our time management in life, and how we engage God in everything that he has for us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to wake up one day and go, I never considered what was going to matter in 50 years. And I lived my life going down my own road, only to look back and go, oh no. Wouldn't that be like the lamest thing ever? When you look at life in the rearview mirror, you look at life, think of the rearview mirror in life. You look back in your life, whenever that expiration date is, you're ready to check out of life, you look back in the rearview, don't you want to say, that was the bomb, that was amazing, that was awesome. I got in, hey, well, I'm not a perfect guy, but I got in on the God stuff. I got in on cool stuff. I got to help give life because God did something through me. That was awesome. leaving this life with a smile from ear to ear, knowing you finished well, will be super cool. To go, I didn't care what God's will is, I didn't want to know, and I did my own thing, and by the way, none of it's going to matter in 50 years, that would be a real lame way to end life. So I think we got to look at time this way and engaging God with time in mind. But this is what it says in Hosea 10:12. We have this one for up here. This is pretty revealing. It says this, sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. This is such a cool passage. He's talking about the promise of what God wants to do in your life, but if you want God to do what he wants to promise, there's something you and I have to do first. Again, God has this throughout Scripture. Draw near to me, I will draw near to you. God has these blessings for you if you do this. If you don't, God's like, I'm sorry, I can't bless you. I love you, but I can't bless you. Just like a parent with a kid, you love them, but you can't give them a reward when they go their own way doing a bunch of crazy stuff. God's the same way. If you do this, I want to do this for you. Would you like this? And if we're saying yes, then God's like, walk in this and watch what I'll do. And the Bible is full of stories of people who had this choice to walk in what God offered and get in on the blessing. And this one right here is saying, I want to do this, but this is what you have to do. And he starts out saying, break up your unplowed ground. Break up your unplowed ground. I don't know if you've ever planted anything before, but if you try to put something in the ground and the dirt's hard, forget about it. I know this because my wife wanted some flowers put in last week, and I couldn't believe what I had to do to get these things in the ground. I thought I was going to hit the shovel and stick them in there and be done. I mean, I hit this thing with the shovel. It was like hitting a rock. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I was out there with a pickaxe hitting dirt. You'd think it was concrete, and I'm trying to break through this. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's taking forever, and you got to break it all up and dig it all out. You put the plant in. You turn the soil with a little topsoil, and it's all loose. In that environment, roots, poof, can go down and go wide and drink water and grow and flourish. But you try putting a seed in something hard and it won't grow. And God is saying this, the ground that I'm talking about, God's talking about, this ground that you need to break up your ground, he's really talking about our hearts, guys, our hearts. He's saying, would you break up the ground, the hard ground? With the hard ground, I can't do anything. I can't put good seed in there. Nothing's going to grow on hard ground. Nothing's going to grow in a hard heart. And I know that because many years through my youth, I had a very hard heart. And I know what the scripture is talking about when it's talking about God can't do anything inside of a hard heart. The hardness of heart is where it all begins. And the hardness of a heart, our hearts get hard in life due to experiences that we did not like. Unmet expectations, disappointments happen in life. People let you down, your trust is violated. All these things can begin to happen. And pretty soon, our hearts get harder and harder and harder. And we say, guess what? No one else is coming in because it's survival mode now. And I am not going to die over a heart condition. So the answer is boom. And we kind of put a panel or a shield, and we protect our heart, but we also harden our heart. And this is very common. It's very natural to do in life. And God's like, look, I love you. I see what you've been through, but I want to do something glorious. And it's going to start with that heart. If it's hard, I can't put the seed in there, and we can't have the life you're talking about. So he's saying from the beginning, would you take the guard down? Take the guard down from your heart. And would you begin to turn the soil a little bit? Would you do that? God's saying, would you do that? God's like, I'm not turning the soil of your heart. You have to be willing. God is so gracious. He doesn't force his way in, but he's a loving God and he's a good God. And he says, if you'll just turn the soil, if you're willing to unharden your heart, I'm going to do a beautiful and a glorious work. And so the scripture says, the good news is that Jesus is willing to help us take away a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Take away a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, because in life our hearts get hard. And if we're willing to say, okay, God, now's the time, I'm willing to take the guard out of the way that's blocking you, because we can block God. He's never going to force himself on anybody. We can choose to take the guard down and say, okay, I'm willing to turn the soil in this heart and not be hard so that you can do something. God's like, beautiful. If you're willing to do that, I will take away that heart of stone. If you're willing, If you're willing to do that, I will do this. Take away a heart of stone, I'll give you a heart of flesh. One that breathes again, one that loves again, one that feels again. When you get calluses, you don't feel stuff. You know, when you start playing guitar in the beginning, it hurts, but pretty soon you don't feel anything. If you're dealing with bricks, you know, or any, you get calloused, after a while you don't feel anything. Well, guess what? Our hearts sometimes, going through stuff, we stop feeling stuff. And God's like, look, if you'll turn that soil and let me do a work with you, I will take away that heart of stone. I'll give you a heart of flesh. You will feel again. You're going to feel stuff you never felt before. You're going to sense things you never sensed before, because God does these things, engaging the hearts of men and women since the beginning of time. But he can't do it with a hard heart. And this is saying right here, if you have a pliable heart, if you're willing to do this, listen what he says. Then the next thing he says, if you're willing to let me do this heart exchange, a hard heart for a flesh one, if you're willing to turn the soil, it says this. Once you have a pliable heart, it says this. For it is time, if you have a Bible, you might want to underline, for it is time to seek the Lord. Don't seek the Lord from a hard heart, because we're not going to get anywhere. You know what a hard heart does? Why is this happening, God? Why did I go through this? And go away. That's not seeking the God. That's just complaining or going off on God or blaming God. Seeking God is like, oh, God. Why, God? I don't know. I don't understand why I went through this stuff. I don't know why this stuff's happening that way, God. My heart's open. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You see everything. You have perspective. You have power. Help me out here, God. That's an open, flexible heart with turned soil. And the Bible says, seek him that way. When you read the Psalms are songs. David was like a hit songwriter. He wrote all these songs in the Bible. And in these songs, he does exactly this. He's very real with God. He's not like faking it. He's not putting on the smiley face. He's saying, God, here's the deal. Okay, I know you love me and I love you, but things are not looking good, God. I'm running for my life. These people don't like me. I didn't think it was going to end up like this. He's very real with God. And at the end, God shows him something beautiful, because he was willing to be transparent with God. And this is like a game changer. This is where things start to change monumentally. The passage is saying, turn the soil of your heart, and it's time to seek me. And if you seek me with a pliable heart, your life is going to turn on its edge. It goes into a whole nother dimension, a whole nother realm exists of life that is unknown until we come with a pliable heart and seek God. And so the fourth point is this morning. I'm going to give you the last two points and then we're going to wrap up. In fact, if the worship team could come up, that would be great. Fourth point is this. Now is the time to really press in and seek the Lord. For some of you, seek him again. You used to seek him, you used to press in, but you don't anymore. It's time to really press in. Turn the soil of your heart, press in, and seek the Lord. Press in. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. He says it, he promises it, he guarantees it, but you gotta press in. Don't expect God to just drop a bunch of stuff on your lap when you're not pressing into him. Take the time with a sincere heart. And the fifth one is this, guys. Now is the time to really trust him again, to really trust him. See, you can believe in God. You can believe he exists. You can believe that he makes things and creates things. You can even believe that he has a plan. But to actually trust is like the story of the guy who went across the Niagara Falls. He was a tightrope walker. And he went across this thing and everybody was cheering, going, that was awesome. So then he goes back again, put a couple of buckets on the end of his thing, you know, goes across Niagara Falls. And they're like, that's amazing. That's awesome. And then he does it with something else that was really crazy. And then somebody said, oh, you're the best. You're the best. And the guy goes, do you really believe that? And the person's like, yeah, you can do anything. He goes, good. I want you to get in this wheelbarrow now. The person's like, well, wait a second. Do you trust or do you not trust? If God was taking you across Niagara Falls, would you get in the wheelbarrow? Because if you did, you trust him. And if you do, that's the thing. I can believe, but I don't trust. All of us, he's calling us into that place. Yeah, I believe, but will I trust him? Here's the beauty, and this is the last scripture, that it talks about trusting God. And this is why it's so important, guys, that we have our heart not hard anymore, that we get our heart to pump again and not get the calluses off and take the guard down and let God do a work, because God does explosions in the hearts of people. And when God begins to explode things in the heart of the people, the way you will use your time for the rest of your life will take on a whole nother level, a whole nother meaning, and things will matter. But this is the last one, is Psalm 62:8. I love this passage. It's brutally honest and transparent, and it's just profound. It says this, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. It's talking about God as a place of refuge. When you're in life and you're going through storms, and you and I have storms, we all have storms. When you're going through life and you have a storm, it's saying, look to God as your refuge. You can run to anything. You can medicate. You know, some people just, you know, I'll get medicinal right now. I'll light something up. I'll medicate. I'll do 12-ounce curls. I'll go, whatever, escape or, you know, workaholic. We can escape in 50 million ways, guys, when stuff gets heavy. The Bible's saying when you're going through something heavy, he's like, let me be your refuge. I would love to be your refuge, God is saying. I would love to be the one you run to because I will protect you from the storms if you come to me. Some choose to take their things to God and some choose not to. But this is saying in this passage, let me be your refuge. Come to me in your storm. And this is what he says in this passage. Know that you can pour your heart out to me. The passage is saying, pour out your hearts to him. When is the last time you had a heart to heart with the lover of your soul? When is the last time you had a heart to heart with your creator, the Lord, the lover of your soul, the creator of the universe, the one who formed you in your mother's womb, who put gifts and talents and things in your life to be discovered and be on display? When's the last time you had a real heart to heart? Not just a little wish list. Oh Lord, I'm praying for this. Give me this. Give me. I don't mean that. I mean a real heart to heart. A real pour your heart out. First, you got to get rid of the hardness. And then you got to come and you got to be brutally honest. And you got to take stuff, just you and God, nobody else. This is private. I'll tell you what it is. It's a holy moment. And it's a world-changing moment. When you get honest with God and transparent with God, this passage is saying, pour your heart out. There's some people in your life you won't pour your heart out to because you don't know if you trust them. I get that. You don't want to pour your heart out to anybody. You got to be able to trust them. But God you can trust. And God is saying, if you come to me, draw near to me, I will. Whatever's on your heart, it's okay. Pour it out. God's a big God. He can handle anything. Come to me as your refuge. Pour out your heart. Begin to trust in me. And God's like, watch how I will help you. Watch how I'll come alongside you. Watch how, if you let me, I can help shape you and reveal things that you will get on. Your time will take on a whole new level. Your time will come into focus. Your time, you will have priorities that didn't exist before because you'll start living for something so much greater than yourself. Look, guys, I want to close in prayer. My prayer is that this message encourages you and empowers you. I do believe that if we don't come to terms with our time, our clock, and the living God, if we don't reconcile the living God, the lover of your soul, and the clock of life that we have, that we're living in the dash, if we don't reconcile that, we're just kind of kidding ourselves. But if we do reconcile that, we start to get in on a level of life that is profound. I'm going to close in prayer right now. And then we're going to do a worship song after that and exit through these doors. By the way, there's a party out here. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on, so you got to get in on it. But I want to close in prayer right now and ask God to seal some of these things in our heart this morning. Just join me if you would. Mighty God, we love you, and I thank you for your word and all these amazing, rich things that are in here. But this morning, I really believe you're saying now is the time. Now is the time to look to you. Now is the time to trust you. And now is the time to pour our heart out to you. And Lord, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes our heart gets hard over time and we need your help taking away a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. But now is the time. Now is the time to kickstart this whole next season of our life. And not to try to do it without you, but to do it with you. We want to look to you. We want to know your will, discover your will, at least try to discover your will, try to know it, try to walk it out. We want to live our life in a way when somebody says to us, what's going to matter in 50 years? We're going to say, this will matter. I'm already walking in something. I'm already part of something that's going to matter. I'm already walking in the bigger picture. Lord, we want to, you're a life-giving God, and I pray you make us life-giving people. We just love you so much this morning. I just want to pray right now with everybody's eyes closed and head bowed. If you have a sense of God saying, now is the time to trust me, Maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus before, and today is the day. God is calling you. He says, I stand at the door of your heart, and I'm knocking. And if you don't harden your heart, and if you open your heart and let me in, oh, yes, I will come in, and I will be with you, and I will never leave or forsake you. It begins with the removing of a hardened heart. And some of you this morning, I just trust that God is saying, hey, listen, in the day you hear my voice, don't back away, don't worry about anybody else, step in. You got a wide open invite to a whole new future. Step into it. It's glorious. Step into it. And God would say, now is the time to step into it today. And there's some of you that have been walking with God but kind of got into a drift, and you know God is calling you back. You know God is saying, now is the time to step in to the things he's called you to a long time ago, but we just get off track in life. And so right now, I just want to ask you, if you sense God calling you to this kind of time, I just want to ask if you would stand to your feet. We're all going to pray together. I know there's others this morning going to do that. Stand to your feet if you sense God saying his time. Amen. The Lord's pleased with you guys. Very pleased. He's pleased with you. The Lord's pleased. The Lord's very pleased with you recognizing, trusting him. And now, is anybody else this morning, please feel free to stand. If you want to just kind of rededicate your heart to the living God and say, yes, God, it is time for me to really put my trust back in with you, to be real with you, to be honest with you, to not run from you, to be transparent with you, to share my heart with you, God, to let you take away a heart of stone. It's time. I can't live my life just doing my own thing, all about my own business, when a lot of that's not going to matter in 50 years. But God, we come to you this morning. You see the hearts of everybody, God. We come to you this morning, God, and we just say, God, would you do a new thing in these hearts? Would you show us to trust you? You say to put our trust, and everyone standing is doing that because they're trusting you today. And everyone who trusts in you, Lord God, you promise a provision. You promise great and mighty things we know not of. Lord, I just want to pray for everyone trusting in you, that we rededicate to you and to your love and to your power and provision and your ways. We rededicate to Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world. Lord, take away our stuff. Take away our stuff. You're happy to take it away. Just take our stuff away. I pray for fresh beginnings and new starts in this room. Show us what we need to turn away from and start walking towards you, stuff that's no good for us anymore. Show us how to walk in your love and your power. And I pray, Lord, everyone standing today, you would fill with love and life and joy and peace, Lord, in a new level, that there'd be an overflowing effect. And Lord, when they run into people this week and throughout the weeks to come, they'll know that they were in the presence of God and they're living for things that matter in 50 and 100 years. God, we love you so much. We thank you for what you're doing in your life, in our lives, God. Let's pray for a blessing on everyone's week. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for coming this morning.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. We pray that this message has blessed you. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit us at valleymetrochurch.com.